Our scripture passage for this first, fourth Sunday of the month is 2 Timothy chapter 3, a couple of verses. I invite you to join me either by standing in your heart or physically before God as we read these words from the book that we love. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's very word. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. A growing trend in America is that of antiquing, acquiring old things. The PBS experts are asked about the value of old things that people have hidden in their closets. And something might not have much worth to it, but to you it's still valuable, even though you couldn't sell it for a dime. That's part of antiquing. People can have a similar view of the Bible. It's old, it's ancient, some see it as useless. And at an antique store, you might get something for a Bible, depending on the color and the cover and how worn it is. But other people know differently. The Bible is life. The Bible is like honey. The Bible is light. It gives light like no other book or teacher can. It is the complete way of God. Not just because the Bible is the best all-time seller, but because it has shown its power and its worth. Why is the Bible so popular? Why does it hold such importance for people? And why do others just freely discard it? Well, unlike any other book where an author's thoughts or words may touch us, the Bible is something more. It is unique. Something deeply spiritual takes place when we tune it on or open the book. God speaks to us. He communicates to us about himself, about his plan, and about us. Well, how do we know that the Bible is God's word, that God actually speaks to us? Well, we read in our verse that the Apostle Paul wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, where he says, all scripture is God-breathed. And that's the word that is used in the original. It is God-breathed, and it is only used here in the entire Bible. God used the personality, background, ability, and passion of each writer so that they would record their words, but not just their words, his words through them. God didn't turn these writers into robots, place them in trances. He worked through them. And so God still speaks today through the person that he worked with, and he gives to us his word. Such as if I was to write something given a theme, and a poet was to write something given a theme, they'd be very different styles. So it was with God and the writers. And as we'll look at today, the Bible is a story. The Bible is not simply an accumulation of sayings, opening up a book like we would open up the book of the sayings of Benjamin Franklin. But somehow we open it, we read a few verses, we take what God has for me today, and there's great value in that. But it is also vital to remember that the Bible is a story that leads to the cross of Jesus, and that God worked through an Old Testament family line to bring blessings to families throughout the world. So what I read is part of God's great big hairy story of his love for humanity that comes to a pinnacle on the cross of Jesus. There is what us in the Reformed tradition call an historical redemptive approach. That's a pattern that we find in the Bible. that God reveals his plan. So when I read the Bible, it's not just what am I looking for a nugget for today, but what does the Bible have to say about God's plan for the world? What's his will overall? And then how do I fit into his will that's revealed in his word? And so when I open the Bible and read it, I'm looking for the main theme, but I'm also looking for how does that fit in the big story of God? And that's a lot of what our podcast is going to be looking at in just a few minutes. Well, the result of looking at the Bible and spending time reading it can be found in Psalm 1. It refers to a tree. And the original readers would understand this as an acacia tree that's often growing up in a parched wadi. Now, what a wadi is, it's like a canal that catches the rainwater coming down the mountains, and it flows through these canals called wadis, usually on the way to the Dead Sea. And the tree gets enough water in the wintertime during the rainy season so that it gets the water that it needs to go through months and months of the dry season. So it can be terribly hot and so dry. And yet this tree is lush and green and it bears fruit, even in the hot weather. And people know that God has given it its nutrients and its nutrition that it has needed. You don't always see the water feeding the tree, but you know the tree has been fed. So when people look at your life and they see something that's green and lush, they might not see the way in which God nourishes you, but they see the result of it. A lush acacia tree and a dry and hot wadi. Well, this is a life that we want, but so often we get distracted. The tragedy of the helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant and others, what, a year or two ago, was due to the pilot being distracted and not paying attention to the instruments. We all have good intentions, but we are easily distracted. And the first casualty of distraction is joy. Darkness rarely tries to wipe us out with one big decisive blow. Rather, evil does a pretty good job of keeping us out of the game by keeping us distracted. There are a lot of second bests that are available, and we often settle for them instead of God's will. Whether we are trying to keep up with others, whether we're trying to impress others, whether we want to pursue temporary thrills, we know that the pursuit of distractions will keep our life from the joy God intends. Maybe you can view these fourth Sundays sort of like those rumble strips on the road. You know those rumble strips, right? I mean, they're on the side and they're in the middle. The things that go thud, 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 thud when you get out of your lane. And it reminds you, oh, I got to get back in my lane. Maybe there's been some drifting on your part and you just need to get a little bit back on track. Or maybe you're on track, but someone around you or someone close to you is drifting and they need you to help get them back on track. And so that's what we're going to do on these fourth Sundays. We pray that God will lead us and draw us closer to him and to one another.